Okay.
So I'd like to call the meeting of the Board of Directors of the Kensington Fire Protection District to order on April 11th. The time is 7 p.m. And we are missing President and Director Janice Gosell. She could not be here tonight. Director DeVille, Director Harmon, Director Domer, and myself, Director Larry Nagel, are all here. So with that, I'd like to move on to the adoption of the consent items, numbers 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. If there's no conversation, no comments on the consent items, I'd like to entertain a motion to approve the consent items.
Could I ask a question, Mark?
That's okay. Sure.
We can pull it if you want.
No, it's just a question. Which goes back to actually Kyle's comment the last time, which has to do with the maintenance. Line item, and within that line item is the
which revenue,
I think it's the revenue,
the transmittals,
the monthly financial report.
No, it's on the annual report, the 52 weeks annual.
Oh, that's not one of the consent items.
It's not one of the consent items.
No, it's on the revenue and expense.
It is. No, you do this first, and then we go back up.
Which consent item?
What we've done with this historically.
If I'm correct in this,
I don't know why.
It is your
Okay.
The revenue and expense comparison. If you look at the maintenance line item in there,
it has
needs assessment and feasibility assessment.
Yes.
And I'm wondering why that is considered a maintenance item as opposed to capital improvement, for example, a line item. Because, to be honest, it skews the maintenance.
That was his question.
That was his question last time.
I'd
rather raise it again. Just to get some clarification.
Do we
have an answer on that?
So that's where our auditor told us to put it.
It is.
That's where our auditor told us to put it. It's not a capital improvement because it's not a project.
But it's not truly maintenance as I would consider
it. No, it's not maintenance. It's a needs assessment. And that was explained in the MD&A and the an audit.
Right, but when you...
Needs assessment feasibility. You're right, it doesn't say maintenance.
I mean, when you add up the amounts, it more than doubles the maintenance line item, which seems to be...
When it really isn't maintenance, yeah.
Inappropriate. That's... Well, you said the auditor suggested put it there. I guess I would... Yeah. Question his judgment on that, but anyways.
I think we all
did. It's Debbie Russell.
Yeah.
It seems strange.
We can talk about it next time on finance, maybe.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Well, thanks for bringing it up. That's good.
Okay, otherwise I'll entertain a motion for the consent items.
I so move.
Second.
Okay, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Or, okay. We're all set. On to the fire chief's report.
Oral communications.
Oral communications. Okay, this is the place on the agenda reserved for comments and inquiries from citizens and board members concerning matters that do not otherwise appear on the agenda. Speakers are requested to provide their names and addresses prior to giving public comments or making inquiries. Are there any comments from the public? Any comments from the board? All right. Now we get into the fire chief's report.
Good evening, everybody.
As he swigs a little water there.
Sus-
As you'll see in your packet there, like I do every year, I try to go through each division and give you a write-up of the activities that take place in it. Tonight's discussion is the prevention division and what we accomplished in 2017. It should be noted that midway through the year, Chief Bond retired, and we transferred personnel and made a promotion, and Chief Gibson returned to his former position of fire marshal. Chief Gibson had previously held that position from 2000 to 2005 before becoming our training director. So it was an easy transition for the organization. Chief Gibson was more than willing to transfer back to the line and become the A-Ship Battalion Chief and manage our fire marshal duties and the things that surround that. Ultimately, under his watch, our life safety inspections, planned and new construction review, public education, and fire hazard abatement. Once again, one of the big programs we have outside of our vegetation management is our engine company inspections. That's a program where the engine companies go out and they go in the businesses and they do fire prevention inspections. It's a very valuable tool. It's one of the things that keeps our fire loss rate so very low. Last year, the engine companies completed 514 of those inspections. One thing that Chief Gibson is going to change this year, and he's going to try to progress into probably the next 20 months, is we're going to try to go electronic-based fire prevention forms and try to go paperless with all inspections. That would be transitioning everything to like an iPad, and we'd have the ability to instantly download the previous year's inspection onto the iPad, then go out to the site, compare and contrast violations or the lack of violations from year to year. This will give the engine companies a faster period of time where they don't have to pull old files and those type of things. It's something we really wanted to get done, and it looks like we'll be able to get it done in the next year. One of the things that a lot of the time gets overlooked in the prevention division, and that includes Chief Gibson's time and Fire Prevention Officer Gagne's time, is when we are tasked with plan reviews for new construction, that are projects that, you know, there's a percentage of them that never get off the ground. And so in 2017, we did 34 plan reviews for potential projects. We won't know probably for 20 to 36 months of those 34 what projects will get off the ground. But we did do plan review and construction review for 63 new projects within Kensington and El Cerrito in 2017, which are very time consuming, a lot of hours of plan review, plan check, and then field inspection. And so that does keep our fire prevention officer and fire marshal very busy. The next section though, you'll see is public education. And as you know, we have a very strong public education program, from preschool visits to CPR to car seat installations. Last year in 2017, we installed 24 car seats by appointment through the fire department in El Cerrito and Kensington. One of the things is that's a drop that we've seen year by year. When we first started this, I think we did upwards of 70 installations. But as we train the citizens and the moms and dads and the grandparents and the aunts and uncles, it seems that once we've installed it a few times, they don't come back. They don't need to come back. And so that's a good sign. We also had a very strong year with our first aid and CPR classes. We had 128 students go through that program, and that's one of the highest years we've ever had. And that's a really valuable tool for the community and for the citizens and their families, and it ultimately makes us safer as a community. So it's Dave Hood's program. He's an engineer stationed here at Station 65. He manages it. He coordinates the instructors. He does a lot of the instructing. And so it was a great success last year. I'd be more than willing to answer any questions you have on any of those topics.
I had one question, Chief.
Yeah.
Because I've been asked by a couple of people, is it possible, do we do any kind of basic fire suppression training for citizens other than CERT, where people can actually learn how to open up a fire extinguisher?
No, we only do that during the CERT class, where we have the burn pit and we use fire extinguishers and extinguish them.
Okay, so if a group of individuals wants to learn how
to... No, we do that from time to time. Sometimes we do it for the schools, we do it for businesses if they want to have like a training day and uh-huh. They have like an orientation. Sometimes the schools do it at the beginning of the year, they have the teachers come in early. We will do special training if it's requested.
Do you do it for churches?
I'm sure we would, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's usually based on the numbers. If we can get, you know, 8 to 10 people,
yeah,
and it makes it worthwhile.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Questions for the chief?
Yeah. Could you give an example of a plan or a construction review that you're doing? I'm trying to picture this. Who would they be and what would you be looking for?
You'd look at the architectural and construction drawings for a new business or alteration on a residential home or construction of a new home. And you look for all the life safety codes, fire safety, sprinkler system. You review it to make sure the drawings are built by code, to code, so they follow all the laws.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Chief, it would be really helpful if when you're reporting, you would give the numbers for Kensington. You're giving overall numbers for Kent, for El Cerrito and Kensington, and so we don't really have a sense of exactly what that means for Kensington.
You brought this up before, and I apologize for that, but you have to remember that I run the fire department as one department. We track calls, we track all these things as one organization, because we are one organization. And that's the way we work. If you have a specific question about something, like how many of a certain kind, if you shoot me an email, I can have them manually check the ones that they did in Kensington and get you those numbers.
Is it really that difficult to keep track of what, I mean, it just isn't really going to be that big of a deal, and it is kind of meaningless when you give these numbers, and they're not, I mean, I have no idea what how many of them were in Kensington.
Okay.
I think it's a legitimate request.
Okay. Dave?
Is there, when you do an inspection on a residence, let's say they're doing renovation, is there a threshold below which you don't do the inspections as far as the...
It all depends on what's being done. Like if they're pulling a permit to change their water heater, those type of things, we don't get an inspection. But anything that would, you know, like a roof removal, a siding removal, full, hardy work, it gets kicked to from the county back to us.
So it's the county that actually decides whether to...
The county reviews all building plans first, and then they divvy out to where they have to go after that. Like if they have to have a sewage inspection or something like that from Stege, then the county sends them all out. Just like in El Cerrito, the city is the start point, and then they send them out to the fire department.
So that means if I have my roof replaced, which I call it, I may see your folks out there.
You may.
Thank you.
You going to take off a shake roof?
No. I wouldn't have a shake roof.
There you go. Thank you. You answered the question right.
There's a few around.
No, there's still a few out there.
Okay.
Next door neighbors.
Yeah.
Shake roofs.
Any further questions for the chief? Thanks very much, Lance. Next on the agenda is the president's report. So I'm going to pretend that I'm the president. And there's two items if you look under President's Report. The first item, the Contra Costa County Special Districts Association has two representatives to LAFCO. Presently those two representatives, one representative and one alternate. The representative presently is blanking on his name here, but it's a Stan Caldwell, and the alternate is Igor
Skiridov.
Yeah. And so both of them are running for their seat again, and as well, a new person whose a letter you have in your packet. His name is Lee Mason. He's from Bay Point, and he's the secretary of the Los Medanos Community Healthcare District. And he is also running for the alternate for LAFCO. Now, usually we have the election at the Special District Association meeting, but we've been having difficulty getting a quorum So they're doing it by mail vote instead of by having the vote, having the special meeting before the regular meeting. And Janice needs, wants to get a feeling of the board for which two, whether she should vote for Lee Mason or for Igor Skiridov for the alternate position. Now, you have, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. Igor is the representative and Stan is the alternate. So the two, you have letters from the two people that are running for alternate, Lee Mason and Stan Caldwell. Stan, it turns out, is also the chair of the Contra Costa Special District Association. My own feeling is that the two people that are there now, Igor and Stan, are doing a great job. And yeah. I see no reason to turn them back. I guess what I need is a motion to either vote for Stan or to vote for Lee, and then we can vote on it and give it a...
you just need board consensus.
It's just a consensus. Just
need, yeah. Yeah. And I'm comfortable with the incumbent. I mean, I've been to these meetings like you. They're very competent people, so I'd suggest we stay with the two.
And well-informed.
And I would agree, yes.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay, then we will so direct. We will direct Janice to vote for Stan Caldwell for the alternate, and for Igor Skiridov for the representative. He's running out of post. The other item on the president's report was that at the last meeting we approved the plans and the expense for the design of the garden.
Mm-hmm. Not the plans, Larry. Hmm? Just so people don't get confused, not the plans, just the proposal.
The preparation of the plans.
Yes.
Yeah. The construction of the plans. So we've already approved the amount of $8,100 plus expenses to put together a set of plans for the demonstration garden.
Correct.
And all we're doing now is to direct President Cosell to sign the contract now that it's been reviewed by the lawyer. And I think there were some changes made.
Yes.
And so the lawyer's happy with the contract. We're happy with the contract.
The lawyer's still figuring it out with Panoramic Design Group, which is why it's not included in the packet.
Okay.
But we're approving the form as it will be approved by our attorney.
So the cost hasn't changed, the scope hasn't changed. What's changing is some of the words that the lawyers are quibbling about. Mm-hmm. And when the lawyers reach a decision, we're authorizing President Cosell to sign the contract once the lawyer's happy with it. Is everybody happy with that?
Well, I think I'm happy with it, but there's one thing I forgot and until I got home after the last time, and that is this project going to be accessible? Does it meet ADA requirements?
It will.
It will, good. I thought it would, but I just forgot to ask. Yeah.
Any other questions? Yes.
I apologize. What is the total cost of this project?
The
garden?
It's 30, I think, isn't it?
We don't know.
We have to design it and put it out for bids before we know the cost. But the cost for designing the is at $8,100, and that's what we're approving now.
Have you considered doing a virtual garden that could be cheaper? And everybody in Kensington can still benefit from looking at it, but it will be,
You mean this is a computer?
Yeah. I mean, once you get the design, to do a virtual garden, and so we can all go on your website and see what you're suggesting, and it will save the money and the maintenance of a real garden.
You're thinking of the cost?
Yes.
Are you?
That's assuming everybody in Kensington has a computer.
Yeah.
Or knows how to use one.
You know, we have got the library, and the plans can be at the library. I mean, there are ways of doing it that's
sure.
much cheaper than if the design is going to be $8,000. Then you're really looking at, you know, $45,000 to $50,000 garden plus maintenance.
We don't think so.
Ooh, hope not. Is that an estimate you heard from people, or are you just
no
educated guessing?
I've had my you know, my little dinky garden done.
Not that it's stinky, but I mean, I know these things run up. You know, I think it's because it started out as a way for people to really walk and see and touch and get a good feel for what a fire-resistant, drought-resistant garden would be. I know that that was the intention, and maybe the costs are going to jump ahead of that thought.
I think that was the intent, and so mm-hmm. you can touch it, see it. It's going to have signage. It's going to have those type of things, and it's also going to reinvigorate a part of the park that needs some help. So it's going to clean up the section coming from the library up towards the upper area. Mm-hmm. I think so. It was twofold, and that's why they thought the partnership worked so.
And it's a nice partnership with the other board. I mean, there's
right,
that was also let's do it together, and
there's going to be maintenance
sure.
on the part of vacation.
Sure, and we're no. I think we're going to maintain it, aren't we? We're going to maintain all of it. Mm-hmm. Going to install and maintain. But it's
on
their
land,
so to speak. So, I mean, again, that's the intention. I still think it's a good idea. I still want to look at this, go forward, but I hear you on cost, you know, if we start sucking our teeth, too. Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong, or maybe I'm misremembering, but wasn't there some, like, upper limit of, like, $30,000 or something?
I think 30 was mentioned as a cost, but I didn't know that that was an
that's
upper.
That's just the amount that we have budgeted.
That's the budgeted amount, then.
Yeah,
okay.
But we don't have a cost,
Which seems, that was higher than we thought, but at least it seems realistic compared to what you're saying for your garden.
Well,
my neighbor's gardens.
When you have got $8,000 for the design, then it looks like a much upper scale.
No, I hear you. I do. I still think it's a good idea.
Okay, so
well, there are a lot of good ideas. I mean,
I know.
It, but you know, tax dollars that can be spent someplace.
Right. Let me just say this is about prevention. I mean, it really is an educational piece too. I mean, that really is what it is, it's educational prevention.
I think if you go up and look at the garden, which we've done, at the garden on Hillel Drive, which is a combination garden and memorial to the people who perished in the fire. And it really is a great idea. And it's,
yes, that was
beautiful.
Done with private money.
It was?
Private donation.
It was donated?
To do the memorial.
Yeah.
It was not tax dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference.
Okay, then I think the sense of the board is that we'll direct President Cosell to sign the contract when the lawyers are happy with it. That takes care of the president's report. Other board reports, the Finance Committee. Nina, do you want to say anything about the Finance Committee?
No, I don't know that we have a date yet, do we? You'll hear as soon as we get one.
Would you expect that in May?
It will be in May. Normally it's in May, yeah. So I look to our expert on this. But when we get everybody together, that'll be the date. Huh?
Okay, Don, you want to say anything about public safety building?
No, we're sort of staying. We're holding still these days.
We're waiting to
find out where the park property.
I hope we're not waiting on my operation.
Has KPCSD reached a conclusion from their legal?
I don't know.
They're busy doing other things. I think, in all honesty.
Well, did they?
It takes
send
a legal.
It out, right?
Yes, they did.
They did send it out.
At least we were told they sent it out.
I started asking a year, 15 months ago, so be patient.
Don, what are we waiting for?
Well, if you remember, we can't rebuild on the existing site.
Right.
Yeah, that was finished up here a month or two ago. So the fallback we had early on, which we then had a lot of, at least some hard kind of feelings about that. So we put it aside. And so now we're going to see, the service district is going to ask an attorney, and I thought they had, whether that property could be used for another civic use.
My problem is that Jim Watt has a sick family member. He couldn't be here tonight. Mm. And he instructed me to get inform him of what's going on. So I have to be precise.
Okay.
No new information.
The answer is one word, nothing.
I think that takes care of it.
Yes. Don, could you clarify which part of the service district property is being subject to this?
No, you and I talked about that, and I think we just haven't had any discussions about it. I mean, it just seemed like we just had to wait and see, and then we have a couple choices.
So the legal analysis is sort of in general, without
I think
specifying
so. Yeah,
any.
Yeah, I mean, I think. My sense, and I might be disappointed, but I think with these sort of situations, you have a really hard time taking a piece of property and selling it to a developer, housing, commercial. But I think you'll see that we have a chance as a civic use. You know, it's part of a community, so have to wait and see.
Thank you,
Anthony.
Yeah, could I ask in what form? You made this inquiry to the KPPCSD. Was this a letter that was sent, let's say, to Rochelle, or I don't want to go there tomorrow and have them look at me and say what, when, who, you know? Well, how did you do it?
Well, I mean, it's we just approached Chuck, or actually Chuck approached me and said that he saw us struggling with. Site and property, and he suggested maybe we could do that. So we, it was an idea that we didn't dare kind of put forward. And then when, with the change in the board, then we did it, but it's still informal. There's been no actions on either side, which is sort of the way everybody wanted to let it go.
Okay, well then, could I suggest maybe since the board has changed now, this has gotten lost in their other priorities, that a new letter be addressed to them?
We haven't ever sent a letter, have we? Uh-huh. No, we haven't.
I mean, it seems to me that if they're dawdling around about this, and this seems to be a really central question,
yeah,
that they need to be poked a little bit.
I think so, but I'm saying I started soon after the new board came in, and of course they were really busy, and I thought we'd see it before now, to tell you the truth. So, I my guess is we're not going to send a letter. We're just going to wait and wait it out.
Okay.
Now, if you go to the board, you can ask them.
Oh, I plan to. You heard her say they need a vote.
Let us know.
Okay, the next board report is education by Janice. She didn't tell me anything specific other than we do have a pharmaceutical drop-off last Saturday of the month, correct? April 28th.
And one thing to add on that is this coming Saturday, April 14th, Chief Gibson will be here at the community center doing a wildfire safety discussion.
Right. Who?
Chief Gibson.
Ah.
And that'll be at 10 o'clock here.
Is that? I haven't seen any.
It's sponsored by Public Safety Council.
Public Safety Council.
Yeah,
because I haven't seen any publicity on it. That would be a.
You haven't read the outlook.
Lynn.
You got me. the hazards of being the acting president here, Paul.
Larry, where's the pharmaceutical drop-off going to be?
Right down in this parking lot. Or no, I'm sorry,
no,
at the firehouse.
In the base.
At the firehouse.
Yeah.
Okay. I raised the question because I understand there's going to be a services district meeting here Saturday morning.
That could be. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way
scheduled differently, yeah.
Maybe a widely attended meeting.
It's the matrix.
Oh, it's the matrix presentation. It's another informational.
On the 28th.
On the 28th, from 10 to noon.
That's what this says.
From the 28th, 10 until...
10 to noon.
So this runs...
Well, the drop-offs, 10 to 2 normally.
Yeah.
It's 10 to 2, right on the front of the fire station.
And when is the meeting here?
Plenty of opportunity.
Right.
The best information I have is it's scheduled for April 28th in this building.
From...
10 to noon.
I'm not sure how long.
10 until it's, okay.
Until it's over. This is the police services survey report.
It's the report out or more information gathered?
No, it's the report out to the consultants.
Okay.
So although it appears to be a well-kept secret that the meeting's going to be held on the 28th, that's my understanding, and so it may wind up that there's a lot of people here.
Sure.
Which would be an opportunity to publicize your pharmaceutical drop-off. People can come here and whatever...
Drop-off?
If they don't use here, they can...
Drop-off.
That's right. Taking all they can. But they can go from noon till 2.
Drop off all their drugs on the way home.
So anyway, the topic is continuing with the police part of the district. And they're going to have a draft report?
We don't know.
It's unclear.
Information that we got from the district website and at the first meeting on March 17 was that they expect to have a presentation on their findings. Mm-hmm. Okay. If they're typical consultants, that means there'll be a PowerPoint and some pop talk.
Yeah.
And I don't know when their final, full press recommendations.
I like it that they're moving forward.
Yeah, it's rather...
Well, yeah, they're moving along.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, next one is me, and that's the Contra Costa County Special Districts Association. That meeting is next Monday, and Nina and I will be attending that meeting. Minutes of the last meeting are in the packet, and I must say not... an awful lot happened at it. Nothing I think worth mentioning, but we'll be well represented at the next meeting Monday. And the policy manual, which is also has my name, that's what Joe and I are working on. And I think between Brenda and Joe and myself, we've pretty much finished reviewing the policy manual, but Janice asked that we hold off on presenting it until we hear the webinar, just to make sure. There is a webinar presented by the California Special Districts Association on April 27th, and we don't want to present our ideas on the policy and then have a webinar a week after that that says, well, that's all wrong and this is all wrong and that's all wrong. So we're all going to be listening to the webinar to make sure we're all on the same page. And then I think most likely by the next meeting, by the May meeting, we'll probably be ready to move on it. And whatever revision. The revisions that we're talking about are not earth-shattering, and they're just pretty much cleanup. I should mention every 2 or 3 years, the California Special Districts Association puts out a new model policy manual. We're not required to adopt any part of it, but this is their recommendation of what we should have in our policy manual. By and large, we take most of what they've given us. The stuff that is totally inappropriate, we don't take. And things that are specific to our particular district that aren't in the manual, we adopt on our own. So, but by and large, so they changed a few things, and this really just has to do with pretty much what legislation has happened in the last 3 years that we should be aware of. Okay, that's it for the policy manual. Nina, do you want to give a report on the website? You or Joe?
We don't have any information.
Nothing to report.
Just that they are, we have hired Streamline, and they are busy migrating the website right now.
They're working on it?
Yeah.
Okay. I should have asked you ahead of time, so I looked more intelligent.
The plan is when they get to a point where it's accessible, then you and Joe will have an opportunity to go through it and make a list of comments, and Brenda will do that, and
see,
I will do that.
Yeah.
We'll make sure the functionality is what we want and how it works.
Any estimate on time?
No.
Okay, the last board report is the Diablo Fire Safe Council. I have to admit I have not attended a Fire Safe Council meeting since December.
There's nothing to report tonight.
And, I don't think there's, I pretty much assumed that. Okay, in that case, we are at the end of the agenda. I'd like to adjourn the meeting. And the time is 7:36 p.m. And our next meeting will be May the 9th, right here at 7 p.m.